Well, we're continuing our march through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We're up to question and answer 70 through 72. And you can find those in the back of your hymnal on page 973. 973. I'll begin with question 70. Which is the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. What is required in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment requires the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. What is forbidden in the seventh commandment? The seventh commandment forbids all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. I suspect most of you are familiar with the famed author J.R. Tolkien. He's best known, I think, for his works The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. What you may not know is that he used his extensive literary talent to communicate important messages to his family. He had three sons and one daughter, and he left them a literary legacy in the form of letters. And many of these letters were written to his sons and addressed topics like manhood, marriage, and sex. In 1941, he wrote one of these letters to his son Michael, and I'd like to share a couple sentences from his letter. Tolkien writes, "My son, this is a fallen world. The dislocation of sex instinct is one of the chief symptoms of the fall. The world's been going to the bad all down the ages. The various social forms shift, and each new mode has its special dangers. But it's walked down every street and sat leering in every house since Adam fell." And he went on to write, "The devil is endlessly ingenious, and sex is his favorite subject. He is every bit as good at catching you through generous, romantic, or tender motives as through baser or more animal ones." This is a remarkable example of a father who wanted to warn and protect his family from a culture that was becoming increasingly promiscuous. One wonders what kind of letters Tolkien would write to his children in today's climate that lacks almost any restraint where sexual immorality is concerned. On the one hand, I think Tolkien's words remind us that it's nothing new for Christians to live in a world with a sexual ethic that is the polar opposite to the one taught in God's Word. On the other hand, brothers and sisters, we definitely need to have an awareness that we are living in a culture that increasingly embraces the most base and perverse forms of sexuality, and do so calling it the norm. And to that end, the Westminster Confession of Faith, along with the larger and shorter catechisms, provide extensive teaching on sexual purity, all grounded in the seventh commandment. And I want to just mention two things from our catechism. First is that the commitment to sexual purity isn't something that a believer can completely privatize. And by that, I mean it's not enough to guard our own chastity. We need to be concerned the way our language and our behavior might affect our neighbor. And second, the call to chastity has to do with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And that means the seventh commandment calls God's people to guard their hearts if we expect to guard our behavior. If we pollute our minds with lust-evoking content, it will inevitably have the desired effect and create sinful lust within our hearts. And listen, dear ones, if someone commits sexual sin, it's never an accident. It never just happens. It's always the outworking of some sin sickness that was present there in their hearts, probably because they ingested something that was poison to their purity. And I should say, this kind of exhortation addressing lust, that's often been directed toward men. But that's a mistake, especially as our culture has changed. In the late 1990s, only about 15% of online traffic to porn sites was from women. In 2021, women make up nearly 40% of online traffic to porn sites. So, it would seem that men and women alike need to pay careful attention to the seventh commandment and follow Job's lead. We're told in Job 31:1-4, this Old Testament saint determined, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps?" Let me put this as plainly as I can. Job wanted to guard his eyes because he knew that God could see exactly what he was looking at, and God could see exactly what was in his heart. It was Job's way of living out God's good design for us, which is our own and our neighbor's chastity in our hearts, our speech, and our behavior. Well, let's continue praising the Lord now. We'll sing number 522 as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Number 522.